The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we're halfway home and on what has truly been a busy Monday. Sometimes these type of lazy spring days, not a lot is happening. Today, that is not exactly the case. Big conversation early about the Bama quarterback situation. Unsettled, according to Mike Rodak. In fact, if anything, Rodak, who covers the team for AL.com, said that Milroe here, very good runner, but this didn't help his cause, throwing an interception. This is Ty Simpson. Smooth. Rodak said Simpson, in spite of everything in that play right there, had a pretty good game. He said Milroe's number's a little bit skewed with playing against some walk-ons at the end. He threw two interceptions. Saban was not happy afterwards. And we are back. Will Saban be in the portal is the question. That's what many people believe. J.K. with a very sobering and objective view of all things college football is up next.
Hey, Paul, he might not be in the portal, but he probably was in the porta potty after that show on this Saturday. Hey, Paul, first, before I start, man, let me give a shout out to my favorite call on the show, Larry. Larry, I hope you get better, buddy. Hey, and I know he's not sitting up in that hospital hoping everybody feel sympathy and a little sympathy party, so I'm going to give him a little joke. Hey, Larry, you had a little setback. You're going to be all right. But I hope you weren't at the A-Day game that caused that heart attack. So you'll get better soon, buddy, and we right here waiting on you to call back in and do your usual stuff. But, Paul, I've been trying to tell you and these delusional fans of Alabama, they don't have a quarterback. You got a guest that finally came on and told the truth about Alabama. And now my week has been going good so far. First, I get this report, which I knew it was going to be this report. And Tucker Carlson got fired. Now all we got to do is get Hannity off the air. So I'm having a pretty good week. But check this out, Paul. There's going to be a lot of these sad days for Bama fans upcoming. I predict they go 8-4 or 9-3 at best. I don't know what you think, but I'm sure you're going to promote 11-1, hopefully playoff team for Alabama. But it ain't going to happen this year either. So I'll see you again in at the end of the playoffs. When we won't see Alabama once again, it'll be a wonderful year for me again.
Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul. First of all, I'll send some prayers out to Larry. But is J.K. and Dwayne kin to each other? I mean, do you not find their calls just repetitive, same old same? I mean, J.K. come on the scene. He was pretty good. But I guarantee you pull up his first call, Paul. It's the same in his last 15, 20 calls. And Jim from Tuscaloosa would tell him he lacks substance. They don't mean anything anymore. They sound the same. It's the same thing every day. So he talked trash pretty good at first, but he needs to come up with a new with a new line or something. But, Paul, my question to you would be this. Don't you think it's kind of ironic or funny? And it's not just Alabama, but people making assumptions after spring football games. We don't even know which players are going to enter the portal or who's going to be there or who's going to do what come up August and September, Paul. Don't you think that's kind of ridiculous? We start judging.
Well, I think overreacting, Trey, is ridiculous. I've told many stories over the years about leaving spring games and having expert commentators say that team has no chance to win eight games and they nearly play for a national championship. I think the thing about it's late though. This is not early. This is late. There's not much more that can change. You know, Alabama did not have two of its best defensive players in the game. But the one thing I'm encouraged by, just observationally, is the young players. I mean, Rodak said he thought the best players on the team were young guys. So the program looks really good, and I think this is a result of the recruiting class. The danger is attrition. You know, why are Alabama's best players freshmen? Because they've lost so many of the other great players over the years. That's the new normal. And, you know, Saban may go out and pull a rabbit out of his hat. He could. and that could change, especially if he could upgrade two or three positions. Now, on the other hand, Jordan Rodgers, who was at the game, who did the game, said he liked what he saw. So, again, sometimes you take it all with a grain of salt. Sometimes you pay great attention to it. It does feel a little bit different. The most important thing I've heard all day came from Mike Rodak again, when he said he's covered five Alabama teams, and of all those teams, we're talking about national championship teams, Bryce Young teams, Will Anderson teams. He said the talent on this team seems to be the most limited. I think that's what he said. So that's a guy that's there every day. I trust the people who are there every day versus those of us who flip on the game for 25 minutes and go, I don't like what I saw. Let me check Twitter and form an opinion. Alan is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I became an organ donor for Coach Leach. And I'd like to invite all your listeners to do the same. Did you know he was an organ donor?
No, I didn't, Alan. Tell us more about this. This is very interesting.
Well, I thought on the Monday that we all heard that he was in the hospital and you were very hesitant with more news, I found out that the delay was due to the harvest of his organs.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But he was an organ donor, and here in Georgia we can check a box on our driver's license to become an organ donor.
And Alan, we're talking about
honor him for all the people that are interested in maybe honoring him that way. You can do it through a living will. You can do it many different ways, but I would like to see as many of us as possible become organ donors to honor the pirate.
That's a great suggestion, Alan. Thank you for saying that, and we appreciate your emotion and your concern. Thank you very, very much. Let's talk to Chris next in Alabama. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Unrelated to the question, Bama fans need to remember Blake Sims and Jacob Coker took us to the playoff. But I've had a question for you for about a year. You had a caller on, I believe he played for Coach Bryant, and he talks about being at an all-black school and then that school merging with the all-white school.
Right.
And that journey together. And I've been looking for that book for a year. And I can't find it in a Google search, because I don't know the book title and who the author. So I was wondering if you could just share with me who he was and what his book's called.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
They came together and
I remember how we set that up. A friend of mine who played at Alabama, Ricky Davis, I think was the intermediary, and we're going to. Yeah, I think it was. We believe it was Ralph Stokes.
Ralph Stokes. Thank you so much, because I want to read that book.
What's
so
the name
bad.
Of the book, Jamari? The name of the book is One of the First by Ralph Stokes.
One of the First. Thank you so much. Can I ask you one more quick question?
Of course.
So I love your intro song, and with adding, the Longhorns and Sooners, are you in the works for a new song to work those two into the?
Yeah,
into
we
the
are.
I
don't think there's any question. We were joking the other day after the Lil Wayne deal that whether we would get him to write it because he is an LSU fan, but we're not sure yet until we can get a hold of him. But Taylor Hicks wrote the last one. I have joked with him when I've seen him about an addendum. There's no doubt. We're starting to, once we get to the summer, we're going to be on a countdown clock to 1 year on July 1st of Texas and Oklahoma officially coming into the league. But really, the move is already underway, and I think you'll see a lot of it here in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, when we get to Destin for the spring meetings, because Oklahoma and Texas will be there, and so much of the conversation is forward thinking. But thank you for the call, Chris. We hope you get the book. If you have any trouble, let us know, and we'll be able to connect you on the right track there. That book came out about a year or two ago. Tim is in Texas. You're on the air. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Thank you so much.
You bet. You know, I had a question for you, but it was a little bit different slant than most of your questions. All the teams in the SEC, obviously, are college teams, and we're very concerned with their one-loss percentages and everything, and you get an opportunity to talk to some fine college kids all the time. I would like for you to have to delve a little bit into their academic programs. What are these quarterbacks majoring in? How many hours have they taken? How many more hours do they need to graduate? I think that's, you know, when all is said and done, I think that's even more important than their academic athletic prowess out on the football field. But I don't hear about that at all, and I'm disappointed, and I would like to know about that.
Tim, we'll see what we can do on that question. Thank you very much for calling. We'll take a short break. Bruce Feldman, bottom of the hour, on a conversation with DJU on what he thought of his day is at Clemson under Dabo Swinney. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. Stan is up next in Mississippi as we continue on. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Paul. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Like most everyone, first of all, I want to wish Larry well. He's definitely one of my favorite callers. I look forward to between 5 and 6 here every day.
Well, thank you.
Hearing him. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I want to talk about the quarterback situation at Alabama. Of course, I know that's a big subject today, but I want everybody to just pump the brakes, relax. Nick Saban's got 7 national championships, okay?
Going on 8.
Right. Matty Malt with 1 at LSU. Didn't start the season. Ended it with a national championship. McElroy, we know the deal on McElroy. Definitely a game manager. National champion. McCarron, 2 national championships, a backup in the NFL for 10 years.
And a starter in the XFL.
Exactly. Starter in the XFL, and none of him. He's great. McCarron, you know, did great. Coker, if everybody remembers, did not start the season he won.
What NFL club is Coker playing for?
None.
Hey, by the way, and don't forget, the year before, almost got there with Blake Sims.
Thank you very much.
Almost. Not far. They were in the playoffs.
Should have won the game. That's the year Ohio State.
I'm not sure Blake Sims, Blake Sims looked so bad. I was at the game, and I've told the story 1,000 times. He looked so bad in the spring game, I thought Alabama would go 7-5.
Exactly. I was concerned about it myself. And also, you know, by the way, just throw this little tidbit in about Blake Sims. Now, I don't think he's been broke since, but, you know, he's the quarterback of the highest-scoring Iron Bowl game ever.
Sure is.
He's, you know, 55-44 Alabama against Auburn. That's
what
the
highest-scoring game. What a game that was, too.
You know, that was Sims at quarterback, okay? Former running back. So, all right, now Coker, obviously, he got cut in preseason. He didn't start that year. If you remember another guy, I can't remember exactly.
But I think wasn't that supposed to be Blake Barnett's team?
That's it. Yeah,
by the way, I can't remember. Who was it?
No, Barnett was the next year.
Okay.
Barnett was the next year. He started against USC.
You're right.
Jalen came in and replaced him.
Yeah. Who's the guy? Okay. George, I don't remember his name anymore. He was like the guru. ESPN used him on game day. He told me, I'll never forget, this guy told me, George somebody, he told me once, he said, Blake Barnett's the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Ever.
He was a 5-star, 10-star.
George Whitfield, is that his name? Yeah, George Whitfield, the quarterback guru.
He didn't make it past the first half against USC.
No.
You know, and that's the game. Jalen come in. He was back up. He couldn't pass either. And they put 55 on them big Trojans out there from Southern Cal in Dallas. If
yes,
everybody
sir.
Remember that. He couldn't pass.
No.
All right. Coker came in the Ole Miss game and almost brought Alabama back against Ole Miss. But he didn't start the season.
Well,
Mac Jones threw
a pick six again in the Iron Bowl, and everybody said, oh, my goodness, this guy's never going to make
it. Yeah, he's doing it. Mac Jones, national champion. Now, Jalen started the season, but did he finish it? No. Tua had come in second half in that championship game. So, to win it on a second 26. So, everybody, 7 national championships.
You got it.
And really, he's only had 1 year where he had a great dual threat quarterbacks. That was Tua and Jalen. But the rest of them have been old traditional, old-timey quarterbacks. It's just been so-called game managers.
You got Stan. You've done. I don't know if you're a history professor, but you should be in your next life. You laid out that very effectively. I vote Nick Saban not guilty on that allegation. How about Glenn up next? Hello, Glenn. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
We're okay.
Great. God bless Larry. I've been praying for him.
Thank you.
He's a good caller. I like him. But about the quarterback situation, I agree with Stan. I mean, look at Bryce Young. He didn't look all that great.
No, he didn't have a good spring game
spring
his
game.
First time around.
Yeah, I know. Look how he turned out. So,
I'm glad. The last couple of callers have made me feel better. Yeah. I mean, Pat Forty was the one here a couple of hours ago talking about the window having shut for Saban or closing for Saban. But these calls have inspired me, Randy.
Yeah.
Hope Larry's not watching the show. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's continue. Jeremy is up next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Georgia fan here. Hey, Paul.
Go right ahead, Jeremy.
Georgia,
thank you.
Georgia fan here. Just let me try to succinctly ask my question and then explain where I'm going with it real quick. My question is, since Georgia's won 2 national titles over the past couple seasons, is this more about what Georgia's doing differently and changing to ascend, or is this more about Alabama sliding a little bit? And the context for this is, let's assume that Alabama has a great offensive line this year, goes 12-0, Georgia goes 12-0. Is Georgia at a point where they're truly equal footing and can compete, or does Alabama kind of retake it? And it's not as much about Georgia doing something different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's really an intriguing question. I think it's more about rosters. And Georgia just didn't start recruiting last year. Georgia has been recruiting since Kirby Smart's first day. And what he has now done, I mean, he has a football factory. That's a phrase a lot of people don't like, but it's true. He has what Nick Saban used to have. And we have obsessed over the quarterbacks here, as our last professor pointed out. But the quarterbacks are not the only reason Nick Saban won the national championships in 9, 11, 12, 15, 17, and 20. He also had the best defense. He had elite players across the board at wide receiver and running back. I mean, just an endless number of players. He doesn't have that right now. Georgia has talent almost across the board, and I think that's really where the difference is. Saban has talent to be in the top four. He just doesn't have talent to be the best team. Thanks for the call. Maybe he'll get it back. Could be, based on what some of the callers are telling us. We'll get Bruce Feldman on that subject and a few others. He interviewed DJU, who at one time was the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence. That was a long time ago, 2 years ago.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back, Bruce Feldman, always great to get him to join us. His latest on DJU's path that led him to Oregon State and a fresh start away from Clemson. Bruce, thank you for joining us. Always really interesting to get your perspectives after talking to some of these players. Good afternoon, and tell us what stood out in your conversation with DJ about what went wrong at Clemson.
Yeah, I went up to Oregon State last week and ended up, you know, I went to practice, and then afterwards he and I sat down for a while. I really didn't know it was going to be which direction the conversation was going to go. And I asked him about his transition and really what he likes about Oregon State and what attracted him to it. And as we started to get into that, he really talked about how the scheme is totally different than what we were doing at Clemson. I feel like it's a lot better. He mentioned a lot of the stuff that Jonathan Smith, the head coach of Oregon State, you know, allows his quarterbacks to do, and scheme-wise, some of the things and some of the responsibility they put on him. And it was something that I think he had always felt some frustration at Clemson the last 2 years. And then it went down this path where he had really spoke about feeling like they did not have confidence in him and how they called plays at Clemson and feeling like he was looking over his shoulder a lot. And you could tell that wore on his confidence. And so the quarterback who went there as this, you know, super hyped five-star quarterback from Southern California, who looked really good his freshman year when Trevor Lawrence was sidelined by COVID, you know, they played at Notre Dame. He sets a freshman record for passing yards. Looks really good. Looks really good against Boston College. They win that. And then everybody was all excited about him. And then all of a sudden he really fizzled out in 2021. He was better last year, but he was still not the same guy. And so, you know, he was kind of very matter of fact. I didn't feel like it was a guy, you know, the things he said were pretty compelling, but at the same time, I didn't feel like it was just a guy venting or loaded with, you know, a lot of negative feelings. It was more about this is why I'm so excited to be where I'm at right now at Oregon State.
Chatting with Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and, of course, Fox about his conversation with DJU. Bruce, I realize you're working on a lot of different things, but we've had quite a reaction here today in the aftermath of Alabama's spring game. Not to put you too much on the spot about something you may not be all that into, but you certainly come through Alabama a lot. You talk to people. Just what are your thoughts on where Alabama is coming out of spring and heading for a season that almost no one is going to pick them to win the national championship? And I can't remember that the last time that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see, because obviously Nick Saban is, more than any other coach we've had in college football, has kind of earned the benefit of the doubt, right? He's done stuff that nobody's been able to do in major college football in this era. But last year was one of the lesser teams or more disappointing teams that I think he's probably had there in the last decade. You know, he still finished fifth, but probably should have lost that Texas, could have lost to a really bad Texas A&M team. You know, those games came down to the wire. And spinning it forward, you have this team that is losing the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Bryce Young, who is fantastic. You're losing the best defensive player we had in college football the last year in Will Anderson, a really dynamic running back in Jahmyr Gibbs, and you're sitting there looking and going, why do you feel like they would be better than last year, even knowing what they have to replace? And on top of it, now, yeah, we'll see how the new offensive and defensive coordinators do, but this, yeah, they've recruited well in past classes, but the buzz I had heard, it didn't sound like they were that, you know, fired up at how the quarterbacks look. So what does that mean? Nick Saban gave kind of this tepid response after the spring game. I saw the clip. You know, it felt like he was, you know, kind of putting out there, hey, if somebody can come in and help us, we gladly take them. I'm interested to see what that means. Does that mean they're going to look hard in the portal for a new quarterback? They have to upgrade the skill talent. I mean, the receiving core last year was nowhere near. I mean, it had been staggeringly talented in the previous 5 years, and then last year it was very average, and it showed up. And so, you know, is it going to be markedly better to carry in a new quarterback that's not Bryce Young? I don't know. I mean, I definitely think Georgia is clear of the team to beat. I don't know if I would pick LSU over Alabama, even though LSU beat them and, you know, won the division. It's still Alabama. It's still Nick Saban. But I don't feel like you have as much, you know, guys who are standing out to make you say, oh, yeah, this is why I think they're going to bounce back and beat Georgia and win the national title.
Talking to Bruce Feldman, Bruce, you mentioned A&M. You know Bobby Petrino for a long time and certainly have covered Jimbo Fisher endlessly. What do you think is going to happen there when we get to the season? And what are your thoughts on the roster of that program?
Well, they've obviously lost a lot of players from that, you know, celebrated best-ranked class ever last year. A big chunk of those guys are already gone. I do like Wegman, the freshman quarterback from last year. Everybody I've talked to who's been in that program on staff thinks he has the right kind of it factor and can handle Jimbo and kind of respond favorably to the way Jimbo manages quarterbacks. I think he's a good building block. There is definitely some, you know, impressive talent. I think you hit it on the head. The question is going to be, how does that relationship between Jimbo and Bobby Petrino work? Can Jimbo, you know, keep the, you know, will he be reaching for the keys of the offense? And will he let Bobby Petrino do his thing? And honestly, if that doesn't go great right out of the gate, you know, it's crazy to think, but the buyout is insanely high. But like, you know, how much more patient are they going to be with Jimbo Fisher there? You know, like, he's basically had one good year at A&M, and it's been very underwhelming. Last year, to go 2-6 in the SEC and 5-7, lose to the teams they've lost to. I mean, they've basically had in the last 4 years one season where they had a better than 500 record in the SEC, and that's, they're paying them a fortune, you know. So I definitely think, you know, for people who don't think he is on a hot seat, I think they're kidding themselves, because it's A&M, and I think that, you know, this is year six, so I think they have to make the playoff is it playoff or bust? I don't know if it's quite that degree, but it, I think they have to be a lot better than they've been the last 2 years. I mean, never mind last year, but if it's what they were 2 years ago, where they're 4-4 and they're kind of a middle of the pack SEC school, I don't know when they think they're going to break through here.
Bruce, before you go, I'd like to ask you about Lincoln Riley and SC. They picked up a big player today from Georgia. They seem to have everything going for them except getting into the playoffs and doing something that Lincoln Riley hasn't done and win that really big game. You're close to that program. You live out there. What do you think?
Well, I think the key for them, they knocked it out of the park last year with the offensive transfers. The defensive guys, they got some guys from big schools who weren't, you know, as you know, they got a player from Alabama, a player from Auburn last year, and those guys were, you know, they were on the roster, but it wasn't like they were impact guys there. Now they take a more hyped-up player who is a huge recruit from Georgia, Bear Alexander, who definitely has talent. So how well does he fit in? You know, what's, you know, how does it work in terms of post-spring, you're getting a new guy in there? I think he will be one of the most talented players on a defense that needs more talent. I think the question is, now you put these pieces together, how do they fit, right? Because you're still talking about a young player who's unproven. I'm interested to see. They got to get, obviously, a lot better on defense. You know, they don't need to be as good as Georgia on defense to make the playoff, but they can't have fourth-quarter meltdowns like they did. They cannot have people just run through tackles. Like, Utah is has been a bad matchup for them because they are a tough team. They're a resilient team. They grind away, and eventually USC, at least last year, broke. They broke twice. And I don't think – I mean, there's a lot of really good quarterbacks in the Pac-12 coming back. It's not – you know, like I said, there's nobody with Georgia's talent across the board, but there's a lot of firepower that I think there are some of these teams that can light up the USC defense if they don't get a lot better. I think they will be better. The question is, how much better? Because if they're not like, you know, if they're not able to slow people down in the second half and they keep ending up in these shootouts, you lose them. You cannot win all these shootouts, and I think Lincoln Riley knows that.
Fantastic, as always, conversation with Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. We take a short break. Thank you, Bruce. We take a short break now. We've had some really amazing guests already today. Well, we're almost 3 hours into the program. Your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Welcome back here. We have plenty of time for you to get in, and we'll continue with our phone calls. Ray is up next. Ray, thanks for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Paul, I've been thinking about the realignment in the SEC next year.
Okay.
And if they've announced it, I've missed it. Have they announced what it's going to look like?
Haven't announced it, but most likely it will be one division. I'd say that's almost absolutely a likelihood. And then it's a matter of which schools play each other on a permanent basis.
Yeah, because I was thinking with Oklahoma and Texas coming in that would overload the West if you did it on a geographical basis.
Right. No more East-West. That's over.
No. Okay. All right. Well, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you. I think we're finally getting that message across. And I understand it. I mean, we've been doing this now since 1992, so there's a reason to keep thinking that way, but no more. Fans don't like to change their thinking, Randy. Mike is in Houston. Mike, you're on the air. Hello, Mike.
Two things, Paul. First, I'm sure you recall the utter apoplexy experienced by average LSU fan when Nick Saban was announced as the new head coach at the University of Alabama.
Oh, yes.
How do you think it would look if he were to pull perhaps their starting quarterback and use him as his own?
Oh, Mike, you're going down a road that we don't feel comfortable going here. You're talking about thievery.
Hey, you know, one thing that the GOAT has been well recognized for is using the rules and lack thereof to his advantage.
He's the king of that.
Second thing, Paul.
So you're saying that you think it's possible that remember one thing, though. Within the SEC, this new rule has complicated things where you would need a waiver to get one of those on board right now, assuming one of those two went to Alabama. They would not immediately be eligible to play this fall.
Well, you know, if you think back when Alabama first played LSU as when Saban was first announced,
yeah,
I think their first game was in Tuscaloosa, wasn't it?
Yeah, in 07, LSU played there with Jamarcus Russell, I believe.
Yeah, so it was still a heck of a scene.
Alabama could go to Miami, for example, or they could go to Texas. Yeah, think about this.
That would be nice.
They could go and get Arch Manning. Or Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers, I would prefer. Manning is.
Yeah, I wouldn't go for the young guy, even though they would have liked to have gotten him. So you're suggesting something very interesting there. I'm not highly believing that is going to happen, though. Len is in Orange Beach. Len, go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for my call, Paul.
Thank you.
I have two comments and one suggestion. Go take it. The first one on the rush the field thing. I'm a Georgia fan, and so I remember back in the late 80s when we beat Auburn there and they turned the fire hoses on us, and that was a bad thing. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, I remember that game. I think that was 1985, 86, somewhere in there.
Yep. Yep, right along in there. And then
turn the hoses on.
As a student at Georgia, I still remember when we did something stupid, security figured out a way to make that not happen again. And so I can't remember when they put all these things in place, but I know that if something happened, they made it not happen again. And so if you want your students and team off the field, they made that happen. And so there's a way to stop this, if you will. And so if you'll think back, I can't remember a UGA game in Sanford Stadium when the field got rushed after that. And so I think there's a lot of ways to make that happen if you want to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think it would be the first time. Situations like Tennessee, Kyle Field, I mean, those are so unique in college football. It's when you get in trouble when somebody rushes your court in basketball, and then you get fined, and then something else happens, and then you get stuck on the big moment in football. Hey, thank you very, very much. By the way, back to the LSU question. I don't see Jaden Daniels leaving, and don't forget Nussmeier. That's unlikely to happen. A lot of reasons for that. They're internal. Nussmeier's father used to work at Alabama. Was quietly escorted to the door. I don't think that's happening. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fine Bob. How are you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, absolutely. Mr. Fine Bob, I had a perfect solution how Jim could make better call than he always does. Well, he barely does, but he could. How about chicken fry and some physical therapy? That solves everything. Chicken fry and physical therapy. My goodness. But the question is, when he gets upset, why is he so grumpy like that idiot Jeff from Columbus? This guy yells like no tomorrow, just like AC. You know, I'm yelling right now because I love you so much. Isn't that obvious? I'm going to go to your commercial break. Can you please dance for me? Like, shake and bake a little bit. Randy, start dancing. And all the...
You ready to dance, Randy?
There, they can dance as well. Holla!
Dan is back. What's up, Dan? Did we miss something the first time?
Yes, Paul. Paul, the reason Louisiana is Louisiana, because we're real. Because people in Louisiana, because of the Cajuns, we've realized that, you know, a man is a man. I mean, you don't have to...
Dan, are you okay? You sound like maybe you thought you were getting some iced tea and accidentally swallowed the cough medicine.
No, okay. You're wrong.
Doesn't it? Paul.
I was born in Ohio. When
Hydrocodone. Oh my goodness! I thought that was Lipton's.
People are different here. People.
Bye, Dan.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.